is take the scripture, realize that you are a child of the King, which another description of that is a child of what? Since we went over tonight about God is, this morning, God is. So you are, as a believer, are a child of light. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Leave it open. And I want you to think about the different, we'll try to give you in its context, but we're going to show you, and after you preach to me, I'll continue to take that truth, because I'm sure you'll be right. And I'll take that truth, and we'll try to make sure we understand it more, and we'll add more questions to it. Because what we want to do tonight, again, we want to see what the children of light looks like. And if that's what a children of light looks like, how should we be walking? Like this. Am I not correct? That if we are, since we are children, not if, since we are children of God, we are the children of light. We're not the children of disobedience. That's what we once were, as you see in this passage. And so what I'd like to do is read it. I'll give you a little background, and then we'll ask the questions. We'll just go verse by verse. And there's five things I see in this passage of Scripture that are imperatives that describes the kind of walk that a child of the light should be walking. You tell me, how should you be walking? How should we be walking together? Is that fair enough for you to think about it? Well, let's first of all read the passage. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 8. Let's start at verse 1, but we're going to take 8 through 14, which that I believe is the thing. But let's get into the context. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. That means what? Followers of God, what's another word that we use many times? That word followers means imitators. And so be therefore followers of God as dear children. So you need to imitate, who is he saying? You need to walk like God. Okay, there's your context automatically. So you can see how he's going to go into the of light. Then he goes in verse 2. And so you walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Now let's stop there. Can we even begin? Well, we can begin to describe it. Can we ever finish God describing God's love for us? That we can't. But that's how we're to walk. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us in offering a sacrifice of God for sweet smelling savor. So he's saying to walk in love. You imitate that. Walk like God. Then you'll walk in love. And that means you'll sacrifice for others. You'll sacrifice for God. But now he goes, he says, but here's your contrast. Remember in Scripture, when there's a but, there's a contrast, there's a difference coming. And he says, but fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. Don't do this. Don't have this reputation. Don't let these things be even named among you. That does not become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremongers or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So the reference there of what we learned this morning, that would also become not in the kingdom of God, would be the kingdom of darkness. Be the kingdom of darkness he's talking about. Verse 6, and we say that because we see what he's talking about when it comes to verse 8. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And the children of disobedience represents the dark, but it represents who? Come on, talk. We're going to be talking all day, so you might as well talk to me. It represents who? The unsaved. Let's just get practical, okay? Those that don't know Christ as their Savior. I say that because look at what he then goes and says. Be not therefore partakers with them. In essence, what we learned last week, and what's another word for fellowship, is partakers. Don't have any fellowship with them under the auspices of what?
the church.
You can't. You don't have the same thing in common. Another word for fellowship. Then it goes to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. There he goes. He says, see, you were sometimes those children of disobedience. Were any of you sometimes the children of disobedience? Ed, what day, what time, when were you a children of disobedience? When you got saved, so before that, when were you? Before you were saved, right when you got saved, when did you get saved? Were you a teenager, a child, or a? Okay, a young teenager. So let's see, you're 120. Got down there. You're about 120 years old, right? All right. So he was a child of disobedience when he was a teenager. And then God pricked his heart, he got saved, became a new creature. Now he's a child of what? Child of the light. Kathy, let's go with you. When the meetings are here, I even forget the. Do you remember the year at all? Okay, 2010. Before that, Kathy was child of disobedience. That's what he's saying to the church here at Ephesus. That's what he's saying to you and me. We've got to take that now. Okay, this is when I was a child of disobedience. I had the wrath of God on me. God took that away. God took that away. And we see then the truth, he says, for we were sometimes darkness, and now ye are light, and light in what? Okay. For by grace ye saved through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are light in the Lord. The Lord is the one that what? Saves us. I talked to a man recently that he was determined that he could because of how good he is, he's a good person, he could get to heaven by. I remember another time talking with someone that was a good a guy that, and I asked him, so how do you think you can get to heaven? And I was had a real good relationship with him, and he said, well, I do more good things than bad. And I say, so where do you base that on? What do you base that on? He says, well, what do you mean? Well, what do you base that? Where'd you get that from? What's the authority that you get that from that you can do that? Well, what would it be? You tell me. Before you say, what would you say that, where is your authority?
Yourself.
It'd be humanism. Whereas I turned to him, I said, let me tell you where my authority is. It's not myself, because I'm a child of the light. He's changed me. Okay? So we see that it goes on and says, for ye were sometimes darkness, and now, though, remember the but, there's a difference. Now you're light in the Lord, and then he gives us a command. Walk as children of light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest in light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay? What we're going to look at here, and I'll give you a little bit of introduction. Here's walking in the light, and I see in these verses, I'm going to give you five things we're going to look at. And those five things come in these verses, and we want you to think about it. What you are to do as a child of the light, no matter your age. How you can understand it. There's five things. There's verse 9, 10, 11. Well, excuse me. 2 and 11. Two of them in 11. And then verses 10 through, 12 through 14, we'll see one in its context. And we'll come to that as we go tonight. But first of all, let us realize this. This walk is not, walk as children of light. Let me ask a question, and it's not a tricky question. I just want you to think as we get going. Is this walk in the light unnatural for the Christian? Think about it. I want you to think. Is this light, we are children of light, is this walking in the light unnatural for the Christian? I'm trying to help you by saying certain words a little more so you, because sometimes you know why we don't answer? I'm going to be wrong. I'll put a star on there for participation, okay? All right. So, is this walk, the Christian walk, unnatural for the Christian? Correct. Because we're a what? We're a new creature. We are children of light. So that is natural because we're in Christ. What is unnatural for the believer? Walking in darkness. How do we know that? He says, be not conformed to this what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be conformed. Be transformed. Conformed is the idea of when you are conformed, you are conforming to something that you're not. That's conform. You're doing something that you're not. I've used the illustration before. I go down and want to sand this table. I sand that table down, looks like a walnut table. I sand it down, find out it's really a mahogany table. I have a choice to make, don't I? To keep it the mahogany table of what it really is, or then paint over it to make it look like a what? A walnut table again. You see, we be not conformed to this world. We're not to be what we're not. And as a light, we're not to be of darkness. And the darkness can't be of light. That's why the God of this world had blinded the mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Pretty simple. I'm trying to make this simple. I want us to understand and really be expositional tonight as in our thinking. All right. We were that darkness, remember, but now things are different. We were not just simply victims of Satan's system, but we were contributors to it. Get that? We're not victims of Satan's system. We were contributing to it. We were not merely in sin. Our very nature was characterized by what? Sin. So the basic characteristics of spiritual darkness would be this in Scripture. It's a work of Satan. John 8:44. Spiritual darkness, it is the domain of Satan. Ephesians 6:13. 1 John 5:19. Colossians 1:13. Luke 22:53. Number three, it brings God's penalty. Ephesians 2:3, 5:6. Romans 1:18. And then it leads to the ultimate destiny of eternal darkness. Mark 8:12. 1 Samuel 2:9 and 2 Peter 2:17. What are the four? The basic characters of spiritual darkness. It's a work of who? Satan. It's the domain of Satan. It brings God's penalty, and it leads to an ultimate destiny of eternal darkness. So now, your new nature is what? We are a light. We're light in the Lord. So to have the right thinking concerning this worthy walk of walking as light, we must realize that we're no longer darkness. In other words, darkness no longer exists in the believer. So when you are choosing to walk in the aspects of darkness, you are being somebody that you are not. Complete disobedience to God. By the way, can we do that? Yes. You cannot be a fool but do foolish things. And so we then go and realize then that Paul goes on now and describes the kind of walk that is an imperative to walking as children of light. And he goes and shows us here. For he says in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're changed, you're transformed, you're light in the Lord. And so he then commands you, since you're light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Be what you're supposed to be. Now here's how a child of lightness is to walk. And he gives commands, imperatives. This is how we're to walk. Every one of us must be doing this. Or we are being disobedient and some of the darkness can come in. So let's look at it. Number one. Now, you know that I'm going to say something that you probably, yes, I'll have an alliteration now and down. That's not what I'm looking for, okay? Don't be saying, well, what's the next one? Since that one was it, this one's got to start with a, no. I want you to just look at it. And I want you to tell me the context. And I want you to just write a book to me that I can write down your commentary, okay? Number one, let's look at verse number 9. Here's the first aspect of walking as light. The first command. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What is the first thing that we are to do? In this passage of Scripture, the first thing he comes to, as he says, walk in children of light. You're of the light. He then says what? What is it that he's saying here? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. So he's implying here, because you're of the light. Okay, so what is he saying here? You're saying bear fruit. Okay, yes, Dan? Okay, be fruitful. Bear fruit sounds like a command, right? Anybody else? What is it? Let's go a little more into it. He says more there. In the what?
In the Spirit.
Okay, good. So who's commanded? The Spirit of God. He even explains to us the what here? That would be what? The fruit. There's the fruit. Every one of this is a describing fruit. And what are the three? Goodness. Now, you tell me. Let's talk about it. What's goodness then? We're to be. The Bible tells us that herein is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit, and that you bear more fruit, and that you bear much fruit. For ye, without me, ye can do nothing. John 15, 2, I believe, 5 and 8. So with that bearing of that fruit and that idea of being more fruit, and we're to be growing, what would be the idea here before we go to more describing of what that fruit in this verse is, which would have the idea of any fruit, of course, but would describe what he's telling the church at Ephesus for this. What would be the idea he's trying to get for them and for us as we have the whole completed Word of God? A child of the light does what? Constantly bears fruit. So what's another word for that? If you're constantly... There we go. I'm trying. Let's be simple, man. Let's be simple. I've not talked to her. I purposely didn't talk to her so I can tell her when she's wrong tonight. You know, and so, we're growing. So the word I have actually is be abounding. Be abounding because we are to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And he shows us this goodness, righteousness, and truth that I'm to grow and be abounding in it, excelling in it. In fact, Peter tells us that we are to what? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he tells us that we, if these things abound in you, right after he said, add to your faith this, add this, add this, which would be all fruit, all would be adding, growing. If things abound, they're excelling. They will make you that you will neither be what? It says unfruitful. So that's why I say our first command here for children of light is to be bounding in this fruit, in this passage, it directs us to three, which causes, there's a lot inside each one. Tell me what you think goodness is. The first one is goodness. Are you to abound in goodness in your life of light? Okay, so what's goodness? If we're to do that, let's find out tonight what goodness is. Scripturally. What? Being kind to other people, okay? Helping others, good. Okay. Moral excellence, no evil. Anybody else? Let's think. How can you practice that? How about be good to your husband? Would you be practicing that if that's the bare fruit? Would it be good to your husband? And then be gooder to your husband and then be the bestest to your husband? Yeah, see, that's growing. Folks, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get us what? What am I really trying to do? Exactly. In other words, I'm trying to get you to what? Think, because what we think is what we are. So what is goodness? I can't live. Unless I know what goodness is. What's the Bible say? You don't know what sin is without the what? The law. You don't know whether to go one way on a street or another unless they put up a one-way sign. When the Bible says don't do this, when your parents say, you don't know whether you can do that or not, can you, kids? Unless your parents say, this I would like you not to do. Like argue with your brothers and sisters. I know we never do that. I know. But we don't know that. If it was never told to them, what would they be doing all the time? I mean, all the time, not just some of the time. It would be. That's our what? Nature. And since we still have that sin nature, but yet we're light, we don't have to do it. But yet the temptation's there, and he'll give us a way of escape. That's why I really can't understand why this is free, and this is just taking a short little rabbit trail. I can't understand why believers in the same family won't talk to each other. That's darkness. That's not goodness. I'm not saying that they have differences and disagreements. But two believers, and I'm telling you, I know of one family back in Michigan. The husband was a pastor of a church, kids in full-time ministry. The son took over the pastorate. And something happened. And it's none of our businesses, I understand. I don't even know fully what happened. But even the grandmother, the widow, will take presents for her grandchildren and put them at the door and not even see them. Won't talk to. His brother will not talk to him. I don't understand that. That's not goodness. Would forgiveness be goodness? All right. Would generosity be goodness? Kindness be goodness? How can you do that? Well, you know what you can do? It would be very good for you to, right when you're about ready to be harsh with those you love, stop and think about it and say, hey, I should not talk that way. I'm so sorry. I love you so much. That's a fruit that you grow in and you get better at it. Righteousness. What would righteousness? Goodness steps forward to do what it can to stop and control evil. So righteousness, what is righteousness? One man put it this way, our goodness is our relationship to others. Righteousness is a relationship with God. Truth, which is the third one here, is our personal integrity. So what is righteousness then? Our relationship with God, which would manifest how we live. What does he really mean? How can we be drawn in fruit? Doing those things, I know they all combine because they're fruit, but doing those things what? That are right. What is righteousness? Now, you won't come next Sunday, or next Sunday, because I'm... Living rightly. It's really simple. As God would have you. Folks, all we have to do is think. We don't have to think too hard here. Our problem is it can't just mean that simple. It can't just mean that. Yeah, it does. You have a relationship with God, you're expected just to live like God does. That means you don't lie, because look what it says, truth, integrity. Meeting our obligations as saints in light is righteousness. Truth is assisting on what is factually correct. Not talking about just, sometimes we'll say something, we'll leave certain things out, which are deception. That's lying. That's not truth. That doesn't mean you have to give the whole story. But he says, these are all fruits that you should be growing. You need to be abounding in your goodness, your righteousness, and your truth, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. You already have that. As a child of light, you have goodness. Did you know that? Is God good? Because he does good. So since we are in Christ, we are what? Good in Christ. Notice what I said. We're good in Christ. I didn't say we're good in Mark Love. I know that answer. We are good in Christ. And so since we're good in Christ, we'll naturally do. That'd be fruit as we grow. Righteousness. Do we have righteousness in our lives? God declared you righteous. He's the one that took your place completely of that sin. Do you realize that? You are as Christ. So how do you want to live? Christ, because in him is light, there's no darkness at all. What is his natural? It's natural for him to what? Just do right. He's holy. And then truth has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, integrity. It's a contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways of the old life of darkness. And we can do that in our own Christian lives. So what's the first? I know we got four more to go, and I got to get going, right? Because I want you. Well, I'll just blame you for being late, old, longer this time. Because you're not participating. All right? First of all, to be children of light, we are to be abounding in the fruit of the Spirit. And we're to be abounding in what? As far as this passage, talking about goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Here's the next one. What are we to do in our lives that is natural because we're light? And he explains it to us. He says, proving what is acceptable to God. Let me just ask you some questions, then I'll have you give me the answer of what you think this is that we're talking about, that how we, what we are to do and how we are to walk. We're to be abounding in the fruit of the Spirit. Now here, let me ask you this, where it says proving was acceptable, and notice what the last phrase is. Acceptable to who? Lord. To the Lord. What does acceptable mean? Pardon me? Pleasing. Exactly, pleasing. We don't have to do anything else. It means pleasing. Other places it's translated, just pleasing. You'll see that. In fact, this word acceptable is used different forms in Scripture. 20 times as please, 13 times as well-pleasing as a compound word. Most of the time we'll see it in the word pleasing and acceptable. When you see the word acceptable in whatever translation, a lot of times you can really just infer that it means pleasing. She's pleasing. If you like the word acceptable better, you can see that it's probably acceptable. So it says we are to do something that is pleasing to him. And what does he say? He commands us. What are we to do? What does it say there? Discern. What else? What's he saying? Discern what? Okay, discern what is what? Pleasing God. Very good. Search it out. That's what we're looking for in our lives. We could say, well, that's pleasing, that pleasing. Boy, this word has much more to say than that. It'd be great for you to look it up. I'm going to give you some definitions, but I'm saying it'd be great for you to look it up. And that's one of the things that really the word's talking about. I've called this, we need to be approving. And what does approving, when you're searching it out, what else are some things practical to you that it means? Proving what's acceptable, approving. Yes, go ahead. What? Give attention to. You can't approve something, you can't discern it, you can't search it out deeply unless you're what? Paying attention to it. So now you walk, there's something you're doing, and you don't know whether it's questionable or not. You've got to not just go do it. You need to what? Search it out. And ask yourself what question? What question? Is it pleasing to God? Pretty simple, isn't it? As a child of light, automatically, the first thing should come to our mind. Okay, I'm going to dress a certain way. Is that pleasing to God? Does that match up to Scripture? Let me just go into some of the things of the word. The word is means to put to test for the purpose of approving. Having found that the things tested meet the specifications laid down by the test, then to place one's sanction or approval on the thing or the person tested. To approve after careful examination, to arrange and execute a test whereby you accept and heed the results of that test. Discern. Here's what I always say. Does it match up to Scripture, what I'm doing? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay, which mind is thinking about this? In other words, examining and evaluating issues in order to determine the right course of action. Tomorrow you're going to do something. You have a decision. You can say what to do. And we need to get in a habit as children of light to ask ourselves, okay, is this pleasing to the Lord? One of the things we did with our children, and I learned this from someone else. As we say, there's nothing original by any of us. But I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful blessing in our family. It made it so much easier for Brenda and I in raising the children. And as they were young, we put it this way. When we asked them to do something, are you going to obey mommy? Are you going to obey daddy? I remember different times. Mom would ask her to do something, and I'd be in the room. And I'd come and say, and they weren't doing it right away. I'd come in, and instead of get frustrated and say, you little brat, you know, or whatever, I just came in and said, are you going to obey mommy? Are you going to obey? In other words, are you going to please mommy? How do you please mommy? By obeying. Are you going to please daddy? By obeying. And then by their choice, they're also, it's another thing we're teaching them, isn't it? By their choice, they're going to receive what? Whatever their answer is, whatever they do. Is that not life? Is that not what God's given us? By your choice to either receive Christ or reject Christ, by your choice, are you going to receive something? Yeah. And you're teaching a wonderful principle. That's why you got to strive to be consistent with it. So it'd be great to say, are you pleasing God? An overarching goal, of course, with him is, so we ask ourselves, what pleases God? Let me just give you a few real quick. I've done this before here, and I have a long list. I have a PowerPoint on it. But let me just give them to you quick, different things. These are things in Scripture that says these please God. Not walking in the flesh, caring for the things that belong to the Lord, serving God, not man, with the right attitude. Speaking the gospel truthfully, persecuting saints, leaders, etc., that does not please God. Walking worthily, abounding in that walk, not being sidetracked with the affairs of this life. Fearing the Lord, serving God by not offending a weak brother. Having godly motives, giving to others' needs, children obeying parents, maturity or growing in his will, do good and share, for faith pleases God along with your testimony. All scripture verses that I have that it says there, these things what? Please God. And it says it's unto the Lord. In other words, every believer is responsible to find out what is pleasing to the Lord, how he or she ought to live full of the light. And each person must study God's word, pray, and seek counsel in order to find out how God would have him or her act in every situation. Finding out naturally goes with living out. Finding out naturally goes with living out. And so I ask, we need to be abounding and we need to be approving what pleases the Lord. Let's look at verse 11. And we'll call it verse 11a because there's two in this verse. There's number 3 and 4 in this verse. And then he goes and says, and have, here's the next command, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful. And we're to be fruitful. The light is to be fruitful. So what is this saying? What are we to be doing as children of light? It's not real hard, folks. What are we to be doing? Pardon me? What else? Yes. Not participate in an evil work. Have no, remember what we said fellowship is? Partnership, sharing with, even the idea of association with. And it says, have no fellowship. What do you think the Lord means by that? Pardon me? He means by that, we see that, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Those works of the unbeliever. And yes, no fellowship with the unbeliever if they are worshiping. Like I can't go worship with a religion or a teaching that worships an enemy of God. It says, don't you fellowship with that. But I'm just showing love. No, I'd rather obey God. To obey God is better than what? Sacrifice. So even though I have loved ones there, I love them to pieces, that doesn't talk about not loving them. It's just saying, I can't fellowship with that. That's why there are different churches that have asked different things. I can't fellowship. I had someone come one time, beginning of my ministry here, and they wanted to get our teenagers together about with something. And I was just so kind. I was trying to be so kind. I was trying to do it other ways, but it sort of came about. Will you give me the answer why that way? And I said, I'm not questioning your salvation at all. But you see, when it says have fellowship, no fellowship with it, he's talking about unbelievers and he's talking about believers too. And I said to that person, I says, you believe, there, you have a doctrine, in fact, that person had a doctrine of the Holy Spirit that was, I believe, completely wrong. Darkness is not taught in Scripture. They were being disobedient in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, I'm not to have fellowship with that. Because that would be, yes, that's being disobedient. He simply says, we don't like this. And so my word here is be against all those things that the Lord's against. And he has says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works. We know what darkness is. So he doesn't just say darkness here, does he? He says the unfruitful works of darkness. So that means anybody that's doing the fruitful of darkness, of disobedient to Christ. Bible says this, and a Christian says, no, it's okay for a Christian to do this as long as in moderation. You know, have you not heard this? Well, Christian pornography. You know, I have heard that. Have no fellowship with that. That's a fruit of darkness. You and I are to have no fellowship with that. We're to ignore. It says, have no partnership, no association, to become a partner together with others. The unfruitful works of darkness, that would be the deeds of lost people and the deeds of those deeds that are professing Christians, whether they're really or not. They might claim to be, but aren't. Christians who are to produce the righteous fruit of light are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Those in every other kind and degree of sin are to be avoided by the believer as much as possible because they bring no benefit to the man and to the glory of God. That's hard to take sometimes, isn't it? But to the church, the person that is walking in the light, to walk correctly in the light, you have to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That doesn't mean you're not friendly. But those works, those sins, I can't have fellowship with that. Churches that would be disobedient and teach other doctrines. People that would practice in their conduct things that would be worldly, would be a manifestation of the world. Because what's the Bible say? What's God say? Have no, you know, love not the what? World, neither the things of the world. For the love, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not what? In you. And you're committing spiritual adultery when you live like the world. And so it says you have no fellowship with the unfruitful darkness. That doesn't mean you're an isolationist. Notice it says the deeds. You don't do those deeds. Can I go and golf with someone that is unsaved and is... Listen, I talked to someone. I was at an ordination one time. They asked and was getting the question, so I tried to help them say, what would it be like, would you go golfing with someone that's would practice an occult or some other belief? He goes, no. I'm going, wow. The Bible says have no fellowship with the what? The unfruitful works of it. And there's some things that talk about now, are you really associating? What are you being associated if you're going golfing with someone? Come on. What are you associating with? Golf. And you have an opportunity to do what the Lord actually is telling you to do, doesn't he? Tell him about Jesus. And have a fun time doing it. But it says, be against. What's the fourth one? What's it say? What's it say right there? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And then there's a little bit of, because we have the word but, so there's a difference. It says not only have no fellowship, but now he takes it another step. He's talking to the church there, to believers, as he's talking tonight. He says, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And now he says, not only be against, but what does he say? You know what your job as a child of the light is? You see someone sinning and practice of sinning, it's to expose that. How do you do it? Pardon me? Yeah. How about your life shows light automatically? It should be reproving them, shouldn't it? What example would that be practically? Let me use one that we used this morning. And what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Next words.
we better watch our mouth through this whole 18 holes. What is that doing? That's actually, but rather reprove them without having to reprove them. So they see that you aren't that way. But there are times where I'll admit I have not, the person's really been using the Lord's name in vain, and I have not gone to them and said, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't use my Lord's name in vain like that. I just don't think God wants us to speak that way. But you know, notice he's talking to believers and he says, you've got to reprove. And who's he really talking to? Is he talking, when he says, rather reprove them? He's reproving the ones that are doing the unfruitful works of darkness. And he's talking to who? The believers here. And he says, you need to reprove those. You need to bring things to the conscience. You are not to ignore evil, because to ignore evil is encouraging it. We are to confront sin with intolerance. Open rebuke is necessary. What's the Bible say? Open rebuke is better than what? Secret love. Silent testimony will only go so far, but it will go somewhere. Failure to speak out against and to practically oppose evil things is a failure to obey God. It says we're to expose them. Now, these are not my words. But he's telling us, as a child of the light at church at Ephesus, he's saying, you need to be against the unfruitful deeds, works of darkness, and you need to take it another step. You need to reprove it. Why do you think he's telling them to reprove it? So that they might what? Restore that brother into that fellowship. What are some practical ways we can do that? The word I have is we need to be aggressive, a responsibility. Rebuke and expose. If we become accommodating to the world, we'll lose the authority to reprove, which I believe we have, because we haven't been doing it. So, how can we do that? I'm waiting. How can we do that? Are you thinking how you can do that? Can you do it in an encouraging way? Did you not discipline your children in an encouraging way sometimes, and other ways you had to be in a different way? How about encouraging them, like saying, boy, we missed you last Sunday. Remember, a question always what? Stirs the conscience. And we had to stir that conscience. Sometimes we don't need to accuse. See, exposing is not accusing. Exposing something, already everybody what? They know. It's not accusing of something that they might not know or think. No, they know. To expose something, it's out there. That's why God's given, again, discipline. That's why a couple times here, since I've been here, we've had a couple times where we've had to do that. It was known, it was exposed, and so we had to confront that. And praise the Lord, it was received with forgiveness and restoration. Folks, we need to be aggressive. We need not to be putting up with those things. Boy, is it quiet. Boy, you're not being a very good commentary tonight. And then last, am I not just giving you what Scripture tells us to do? That's all we're doing. Lastly, verses 12 through 14. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth.
What would be the idea? When you're sleeping, it is what out? Dark. And then it says, arise from the dead, which is what? It's pretty dark in a grave. Arise, and Christ shall give thee what? What? So what's it talking about? Get saved. It's saying, be awake. So be awake, what? That time that you've gotten saved, you need to continue to be awake. Be alert with those things around you. Notice he says, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, sometimes we talk about things. There is and one of the principles is, it was when you would catch an evangelist come to a church a lot of times, or a preacher that in his church would speak a lot on a certain subject. Lessel always said, if they are extravagant or whatever on a certain topic, start wondering about their morals. They're hiding something. But what I always saw, by reference, by example, those that spoke of those kind of things all the time, I'm talking about Beatan, I'm not talking about teaching the whole counsel of God. I'm saying they'd always be preaching about, let's use this, the one that I saw, one of the ones that I saw, about sensual things. Always speaking to teens and always speaking at churches and always, by the way, we need to be speaking against those things. But always, it's sort of a tangent. That evangelist is no longer an evangelist. Now, he did not commit immorality, but there was flirtation things. See what happens? We all aren't. What happens is we become like what we what? Think. And so here's an exposing. We need to be simple concerning what. You know, you bring up. I've called it a sheltered life. Did you know it's not wrong to bring your children up in a sheltered life? Well, boy, you can't do that. I got to let them know what's everything going on out there, because, boy, when they get out there, it's going to be... No, you teach them that. You teach them. And what's out there, it's pretty hard sometimes. That's why you got to catch it early when they get to certain ages. I know, you know, that time when you're teaching to your kids, when they start getting young teenagers and you've got to have that talk with them or whatever. I'll never forget, especially with my boys. I was always wondering if they already knew that. But praise the Lord. I asked them always afterwards. They said no. So you know what I say? Praise the Lord. They lived a sheltered life. But then who teaches them so they're when they get out and they aren't shocked? No, it's controlled. It's called control. You're the parent. And so it says here, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by what? So in other words, it all has to be made manifest and approved and examined according to what? The light. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And he is the light of the world. Boom, boom, boom. And so we realize that there's a sheltered life. Ungodly people do in secret becomes clear how evil it is. All it takes is some light to help. Sometimes are so spiritually disgraceful and dangerous, they're sealed off. It's talking about that. Then there's that shining life. Our resources for exposing evil is Scripture. For it says, thy word have I what? Hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. I esteem all your precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. And so we realize that our commission as children of light is to hold everything up to the light of Scripture and then be saved and sanctified. For he goes and he says, wherefore he saith then in this whole thing,
Be awake. Be alert. Don't be alert about speaking those things that are should be spoken about. Take it in its context. Don't go way over here. Don't go way over here. Take it up to light of Scripture. You know, those are certain positions that people are doing, and I don't argue with them in certain times, different things, but there's certain positions or different things they take, and I just feel like saying, where in the world did you get that? Why do you believe that? Where in Scripture does it say that? Because it doesn't say that in Scripture. And we need to make sure that we do everything according to that light. So what are the five things that we walk as children of light? And I know today, I've given you my heart. I've been long today. I'll try not to be as long next week. Oh, I'm not speaking next week. So you'll be good, huh? But what are the five things that to walk as children of light? What's the first one? To abound in what? The fruit of the Spirit. In what? Goodness? Righteousness, truth. It's right there. And then after abounding, what are we to do? Approve, examine, put everything up to the light of Scripture. And it says, have no, as we approve, it simply tells us we prove what is pleasing to God. Okay, if it's up to Scripture, and sometimes Scripture might not say anything, but the principles of different things that come out of it, they're not against, then it's okay to do. All right, does it say in Scripture you shouldn't drink coffee? It should. I always joke, because our family is, my son Aaron and I are the only ones that don't drink coffee in our family, and we're the only Christians in the family, you know. But there's no way. But what does Scripture say anything about coffee? No, but it just says anything about the extent of coffee. It says, let it not have a what over you. All things are permissible, beneficial for you, but don't be made control under. Does the Bible say anything about golfing? Only, I'm surprised it's not in the fruit of the Spirit. But nothing but what does it say about golfing? Exactly. And then also, what else while I'm golfing? Don't cheat. I only do that half the time. No, don't cheat. Respond. I'll tell you what, I've heard some words in the golf course that I definitely can't repeat to you. The people with me, they must think I'm... Because I'll hit a bad shot, I'll hit something, I'll mishit it or something like that, or hit it short or not, and had the wrong club, and I'll say, oh, Mark Love! And they probably look at me like saying, who is this guy? We need to be approving the things that are pleasing to God. And then number three, what are we to be? We're to be against what? The deeds of darkness. We are to be against them. We are to have no partnership with them. And a partnership, again, says we are what? When you're a fellowshipping in partnership with something, what are you doing? Engaging and spending time with it. There's a difference. You're always spending time with that. You're fellowshipping with that fruit of darkness. That's why he says don't do that. Don't spend that time. Certain places you always have to go. But are you having fellowship with that? And then what does it say? Be against? Then it says be aggressive about what? Be aggressive confronting those unfruitful works. We need to rebuke and expose them. But usually when it says rebuke, the only way it can rebuke is it has to be what? Out there. Remember, the life that finds out lives out in the light. And the last one is be alert. Be alert for the cause of Christ. Be alert. You're not saved. You need to be saved. And as you're saved, You need to realize that that holy life is one that your resource is expose the evil in your life and those around is the Word of God. Our commission as children of light is to hold everything up to the light of Scripture. And Christ will shine in you when you're saved because you are a child of the light. So I want you to go home, take these, read the rest, chapter, but take these verses, read them again and again. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do as a child of light. Am I doing this? Where can I improve? I might be doing it, but where can I improve in it? Or I'm not doing it. Okay, I've got to strive to do that. It's real important for us as a body here fellowshipping together that we live, we walk as children of light. Lord Jesus, thank you again.